Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Friday edition of the Hoosier Report live and underway right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Matt Dennison and Lee Kelly here to round out the week for you. NCAA basketball back on the boob tube last night. Some good games. Kentucky goes down to Kansas State. And just some all-around interesting matchups are being formulated once again for the next round in the Elite Eight of the tournament on Saturday and Sunday. Of course, we've got more Sweet 16 games today. But I think we're getting to the point where after some of the early upsets that we saw that were just crazy in college basketball, the number of them, the 16 seed beating the 1 seed, and then with games last night, Loyola of Chicago against Kansas State, one of those teams will go to the Final Four. I'm to the point where I think safely now we can call this the craziest NCAA tournament, at least of my lifetime.
I think you're right, and I just saw a stat that blows me away. 17.3 million people filled out brackets through ESPN. 17,676 is the amount of people that have Loyola and Kansas State in the Elite Eight. I mean, like, what? 10%, I guess it is, of that number. That's 1%. That's amazing. And first of all, I want to meet those 17,000 people that thought Loyola and Kansas State was going to be in the Elite Eight, because those people either have inside information or clairvoyant something going on there.
Absolutely. So just glad basketball's back on the screen. Again, it's been, you know, a good month. You've got NIT and how about the IU women last night? They get a complete season sweep of Purdue in conference play a couple times in the women's NIT last night to advance on. So there's been plenty of basketball options this month, but nothing better than the NCAA tournament. I think we got some better games today, although you can't complain necessarily about some of the games last night. There were a couple close ones. So I think we've got some better games tonight, and the Elite Eight matchup should be really interesting. It's just hard to believe that, you know, you get to this point, you start saying it's going to be either this team or that team in the Final Four. And Kansas State, Loyola of Chicago, a couple others that still remain either today or have advanced on to the Elite Eight. It's just hard to believe that those are teams that are going to be in the Final Four. And you've got to look at Michigan now from a Big Ten perspective, who had a great close to conference play and had a terrific conference tournament, obviously, up in New York City to go on and win it and beat Purdue and just really look good in the conference tournament. They've continued that. And they almost, that left side of the bracket that I've talked about a couple times this week about somebody from this left side, not a 1 seed, not a 2 seed. Now we know it's not going to be a 3 seed or a 4 seed, but, well, Michigan, I think, a 3 seed, but they're going to go play for a national championship. And to me, and again, as soon as I say this, Michigan will lose in the Elite Eight, but to me, Michigan is looking more and more like a team that may play for a national championship and this year.
We always talk about teams that get hot at the right time. That may be Michigan this year. Closed out the season looking good, played fantastic in the Big Ten tournament, and have continued that play, as you mentioned, in the NCAA tournament. So they're playing very well, and the little side stories with Sister Jean following the Loyola team around. You know, you've got to love it, although somebody on ESPN was giving her a hard time this morning. But Bruce Weber winning for the first time against Kentucky, Kansas State actually winning for the first time against Kentucky. All of these little side stories, I think, help make this tournament what it is, and there's certainly a lot of them this year.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at what we've got for you today here on the program, the Honey Baked Ham guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on Fridays, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is always with us. Jared will join us today. We'll talk some IU hoops. We'll talk more about some Sweet 16 and Elite 8 matchups that loom here later today and, of course, over the weekend. And then later in the program, we will be joined by Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Really looking forward to talking with Kyle today because it's a preview of this weekend's state finals, the 1A and 2A games in the morning tomorrow, and then, of course, the 3A and 4A state championship games will be played on Saturday night. A lot of good players, a lot of interesting matchups. The one thing that is unfortunate, really no local team, and when I say local, obviously no one there from Clark and Floyd counties, but even in southern Indiana, you've got to go west to Forest Park and further west down to Evansville for Evansville-Bossy to find the most local participants that will play for state championship games tomorrow. But there's still a lot of players that are worth paying attention to, still some games that I think should be very competitive. The one thing we'll have to start with Kyle on, though, is the weather up there tomorrow, and I think we're supposed to get some more bad weather here, which is crazy to be at the end of March, not at the beginning of March, but at the end of March, still talking about snow in the forecast and snow on the ground like it is today in a lot of places. But the weather could be an issue for the state finals. I don't ever recall that. I've got to believe that the IHSA's viewpoint on it is, and I think a lot of the out-of-town teams went up Thursday for the banquet and probably have stayed, I would assume, practicing on Friday, getting ready for the game on Saturday in Indianapolis. But I've got to assume that the IHSA's viewpoint is, even if it's really cold, even if the roads are really bad with 6-7 inches of snow and ice, you got the teams there, you got to play the games. The rent there for that facility is, I'm sure, outstanding and would be very hard to reschedule. But that does present a challenge that, you know, you have to deal with in high school sports, and we've had to deal with it in sectionals and regionals before, but never recall, you know, a state championship being postponed or delayed because of weather. I'm sure it's happened at some point in some sport, but I sure don't recall it in basketball. So we'll talk with Kyle about that as well.
You know, having been around high school, I remember there have been times where weather has come in for other sports in the winter times, early spring. And I can remember where they were, the schools were told, well, we're going to have the tournament no matter what. Get there if you can. So that has been, at least at times, the mentality of the IHSAA. I don't know they would do that for basketball, but I don't know that they wouldn't.
Absolutely. That's a look at the guest lineup today presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget that you can stop in Honey Baked Ham. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Receive $1 off a box lunch. Again, that's the Honey Baked Ham location in New Albany in the Northgate Shopping Center. Let's get into some Hoosier headlines here in this first segment, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And I tell you what, obviously the NCAA games take the cake. We've talked some about what happened last night, some of the exciting matchups tonight. We'll talk more about that in the program as well. But how about this Isaac Haas arm brace? Guy has a broken elbow, tried to put a brace on that the official said, it doesn't meet NCAA regulations, but Purdue engineering students right on it, and it was kind of mentioned to Matt Painter, Purdue coach, at the press conference after their win to move on to this round of the tournament, and it looks like that he's got a brace that has at least been cleared for him to play. Now, how you play with a broken elbow, I don't care what kind of treatment or brace or whatever you can come up with to try to stay in the game and get some minutes, that will be interesting in itself to see, but really kind of a unique story. You don't always see a brace being developed or being refined, maybe is a better word, from game to game or from week to week. Normally that's something that I'm sure takes a lot of engineering and studying and approval and those sort of things, but nonetheless, it might be overhyped. He may not play a minute in the game tonight, but according to reports, the brace that they have come up with, and it looks like a brace that they bought or got from somewhere else and made some modifications to it, was the basic description I have of it when I saw the pictures of him, and even some video of him shooting or trying to shoot, I guess, in one of their shoot-arounds at the NCAA tournament. But that's interesting nonetheless. I don't know that he's going to be a factor. I don't know that he'll get a lot of minutes, but that brace has sure kept his name in the conversation.
Well, not only that, the Purdue engineering has received more publicity in the last couple of weeks than in the entire history of Purdue, and they have an outstanding engineering department. But if you tie it to sports, especially at the NCAA tournament level, you're going to get a lot of notoriety.
Absolutely. A couple other headlines to mention. Some high school basketball postseason awards. Yesterday, Lee Kelly and I went through some awards on our program with as close as we cover it. Romeo Langford, Player of the Year. Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central, the Underclassman of the Year. We had 12 players that we named to an all-area team from Clark and Floyd counties, and kind of went through each program and some of the successes, and even gave you a look at our way too early top five for next season, which did draw a lot of interest on social media and on Twitter. But a couple other announcements: the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association and Subway always have some large and small school all-state teams and other honors for players, and a lot of Southern Indiana guys and from our local area recognized that they have a Supreme 15 All-State team. Both Romeo Langford and Sean East were named to the Senior Supreme 15. That's quite an honor. You're in that 15. You're definitely in consideration for the Indiana All-Star team. It's a combination of players from big schools and small schools. And you look at those 15 names, it's a heck of a senior class across the state of Indiana that make up that Supreme 15. So two local guys get that honor. In addition to both Romeo and Sean from New Albany, Jeffersonville's Bailey Falkenstein, Luke Goman of Floyd Central, they were named to the 15-member Senior Large School All-State team. So that's a big honor for them with the seasons that they had. Henryville's Nick Walker was selected to the 15-player Small School All-State team for seniors. Rock Creek's Terrence Browning, Christian Academy, Stephen Cook, Noah Williams, also of Christian Academy, Murphy McEwen, and Christian Stewart of Clarksville. They were all honorable mentions, senior All-State, by the IBCA as well. Junior Silver Creek, Zane Gross, Kobe Barnes, who we mentioned was a junior All-Star and was recognized yesterday by us as the Underclassman of the Year, and also Julian Hunter of New Albany. They were underclass All-State honorable mentions as well. So I think all the players in the Supreme 15 and the large school top 15 and the small school top 15 from Clark and Floyd counties, that just kind of underscores what we talked about some yesterday of what a great year it was for the area.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had so much fun talking about these young men, getting a chance to see them play in some cases. It was just a fantastic year for me, and I hope for all of the fans. I hope they all got out, saw their favorite teams play as often as possible.
Also, a high school football note. Hard to believe that we'll be talking high school football again here in a couple months. School will be out, high school practices and two-a-days will begin, but Jeffersonville will make a change with their football program. Head coach Alfonso Browning was released from his position. The school announced on Thursday. Jeffersonville was 13-18 under Browning. Coach Browning was a part of Jeffersonville football for a total of 8 years. First five of those 8 years as an assistant coach, and then most recently the 3 years as head coach. That's when he went 13-18 with the Red Devils on the football team. So it will be interesting to see who is interested in that job. It'll be interesting to see who lands that job. A lot of talent at Jeffersonville High School, and it's one of those programs, a lot like New Albany and others, that you keep wondering, when is it going to be a breakthrough time for them to get on a roll and build some momentum? Because, you know, based on success in other sports for a lot of our schools in the area, that there are football players and athletes in the hallways on the team. When's somebody going to have a big season and put together a program that maybe gets on a dominant path for a handful of years?
You know, there's some interesting things that go on anymore with coaching, even with basketball and football. And at one time, you found a job for the person that you wanted to come in and coach those sports. Not as easy to do anymore. If there's not an opening for a teacher, especially in the area you're looking at, makes it very difficult. The other problem with Jeff, they are in 6A. New Albany was in 6A as well. And, man, that is a tough way to go at the end of the season. Columbus North, Center Grove are two of the teams that are in there, and it just makes it very difficult to get out of the sectional with those quality programs up the road. Not saying Jeff can't do it. Jeff, the largest school in the Hoosier Hills Conference, a lot of talent on that team year in and year out, but it's still a rough way to go.
One final headline. I mentioned this at the top of the show. Indiana beat Purdue last night in the women's NIT tournament, 73-51, the final score in that game. So Indiana will advance on in the WNIT to keep their season alive. Almost 6,000 people at Assembly Hall last night. That would be nothing for a men's basketball game, but a really, really good crowd for the women's side of things as they complete a season sweep over Purdue for this Indiana team. A lot of players in double figures, four players in double figures. They were led by 24 points from Tyra Buss, who's had a heck of a career, 16 points from Jalen Penn, and 10 points also from Bindu Yenny in the game, 12 points from Kim Royster. I left her out. So, nonetheless, four players in double figures for the IU women. They advance on. They've had a good season for IU women's basketball standards, and that's good to see. Always good to see a competitive team that especially sweeps Purdue for the season. Interesting there. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We give you the headlines, the news of the day, each day here on the program presented by Hoopsters, your hometown sports grill, where with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturdays. Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. Jared Morris of Assembly Call will join us, followed by Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. That's what's still to come here on this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call joins us Fridays here on the Hoosier Report to talk IU basketball. Of course, this time of year we're talking college basketball in general as the Hoosiers in off-season mode. Jared, crazy games last night, and I saw you tweet out something that caught my eye yesterday because of all the madness going on with the NCAA tournament. But you sneak in the tournament, and I know a lot of fans were hopeful that down the stretch Indiana could find a way to do so if they won out in conference play and then went on a little bit of a run, maybe got to the championship game up in New York City. But you sneak in the tournament, crazy things happen. And we're seeing some of those crazy things in this year's version of the Big Dance. And I think that's why getting in the tournament is so important. Even if it's not been your year, it's not been a banner year for your team, you get in there, you get an opportunity, and all of a sudden you wake up and you find yourself, your team playing in the Sweet 16 or maybe even the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get in the tournament, and obviously all the teams in the tournament are good, or they wouldn't be there, but there's obviously varying levels of goodness, and there are widely varying paths that people take to a potential Elite Eight or, you know, Sweet 16 or, goodness, a Final Four berth. And, you know, you look at, you know, what the path that a team like Kentucky had, you know, where they could have made it all the way to the Elite Eight without beating any seed higher than ninth. And so you never quite know how the bracket's going to open up, what the matchups are going to be. You know, maybe you're a low seed, but you just happen to get, you know, matched up against a team that is a particularly good matchup for you. And so, you know, not only is it good just from a program perspective to get into the NCAA tournament as often as possible, just from that stature and for what you're trying to build in terms of consistency, but, you know, based on what happens, you know, you could find yourself as an unlikely Elite Eight participant, as we're, you know, seeing this year with three of them seated, you know, ninth or lower.
Is there anything we can take from this NCAA tournament to this point that we can put our finger on and go, well, this is the reason the lower seeds are winning, or this is the reason the top seeds are getting beat, depending on how you look at it? Or is it just one of those years where there's really no answer for what's happening?
I mean, I think you might be able to draw some kind of, not a conclusion, but, you know, I mean, we've talked about how there's a little bit more parity in college basketball and the talent is a little bit more spread out, and maybe there's some of that, but I think for the most part, this is just some of the random variants of the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's a great event. It's an incredible way to crown a champion. But it's probably not the best way to determine who the best team is, you know, and those are two very different things. So, you know, you look at a team like Virginia losing, and Virginia was fantastic all season long, you know, but they happened to go up against a team that was red hot from downtown, you know, that had a quick guard who could really penetrate and get inside and kind of knife into the strength of their defense. And they didn't have, you know, any kind of offensive wherewithal that night to come back. And so you lose. And I don't know that, you know, again, that you can draw any major conclusions from it, except for the fact that, you know, basketball at this level over 40 minutes, anybody really can beat anybody. You know, even if it's a 1 or 2% chance, that chance is going to come out sometimes. And we just seem to be having one of those tournaments where, you know, the low odds are winning out more than they usually do.
Jared Morris of Assembly Call joining Lee Kelly and I here on a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Let me ask you this, Jared. You know, you're an IU graduate. The IU basketball program has always been a big part of you. And, of course, Assembly Call has given you and others a way to be very involved and create an opportunity for other fans to share their opinions with you immediately after games. We air those post-game show here on the Big X as well. But how difficult, as an IU fan, for fans in general, not just yourself, is it to watch all the NCAA tournament, even NIT games, as we get into the latter stages of that tournament, with IU basketball really not having any March games? I mean, it's just a different time. It's what you build up to all year, and it's really different when the Hoosiers not involved at all. How difficult is this for IU fans to go for this final month of the season with, you know, not a first-round loss or an NIT couple games, but no basketball at all after the first game of the conference tournament?
Well, it's hard, and I think probably it depends on when you came of age as an IU fan. You know, Ryan, Andy, and I, who host the show, you know, Andy and I especially, I mean, we grew up as IU fans. And, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, on obviously, you know, into the mid-90s, you know, it was just assumed that Indiana was going to make the tournament. And they did, you know, 18, 19, 20 years in a row, whatever it was. And so, you know, your worst case scenario was maybe being like a, you know, a 7, 8, or a 9 seed. And so, you know, I think for those of us who kind of grew up with that, you know, now basically only going to half of the tournaments that have been played over the last 16 years, there's always a big void there. I think the problem is now there's a new generation of Indiana fans coming up for whom missing tournaments regularly isn't, you know, it's maybe not quite that big of a deal just because it's happened so often. And you kind of know, okay, you know, Indiana basketball is supposed to be better than this, but yet, you know, we've missed, you know, obviously several tournaments recently. So I think it's important to get back to the point where you never want to take making the NCAA tournament for granted because it's always a good achievement for a team, but it should be the expectation and the standard. And obviously that hasn't been the case the last couple of years. But, you know, to answer your question, it definitely makes March a more meaningful month, and it makes the NCAA tournament a lot more fun when you've got some skin in the game. You know, because I remember, you know, last night early in the game, you know, Kansas State is just romping on Kentucky, you know, and I tweeted something out like, boy, this is men against boys right now. And then I thought to myself, you know, ... the IU fan tweeted from his couch when his team hasn't played since March 1st, you know? And so that, you know, it kind of gives you a little bit of an insecurity as a fan. It's like, well, I can't really talk smack about any of these teams. They made the dance and we've been sitting home since March 1st. So, you know, you want to be able to have pride in what your team's doing and what your school is doing. And part of that is obviously how things are being done, but the other part of it is what kind of success you're having. And so I think any March where Indiana's not in the tournament is a missed opportunity to do that.
Jared, sitting on the couch as a fan is exactly what I do as well, but my favorite part of this anymore is there are four channels covering every game, so I don't have to rely on my local TV outlet to pick which game I get to see. So I can watch back and forth any or all of the games as much as possible, which is something they've added that I certainly do appreciate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that makes it so great. And, you know, it goes beyond that. You know, we don't even have cable here at our house, you know, but, you know, we can watch it with Hulu Live or the, you know, the March Madness app. And it's really nice being able to go kind of on demand and, dictate which game you want to watch. You know, because maybe there's a game coming down to the wire, but, you know, my wife's a Texas A&M fan and she wants to watch her game and not the game that's coming down to the wire. You can make your own decision instead of, you know, a producer having to make that decision for you. So it makes the viewing experience much better and more personalized for everybody.
I tried to convince my wife we needed four TVs in the living room, but she wouldn't buy into that. So I didn't get to do quite what I wanted.
Come on, Sally. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, our guest. Jared, one final thing before we let you go. Lee and I were talking about this off air at the commercial break. A very interesting Greg Doyle column out earlier today in the Indianapolis Star, at least on the website. Bob Knight, Gene Cady, the column titled "Gene Cady Legend Grows as Bob Knight's Continues to Shrink." I know we've had some conversations in your segment in the past on Bob Knight and some of the crazy comments and, you know, lack of wanting to come back to Indiana and be honored as a legend and those sort of things. But I have to agree with the column, and I sure as heck agree with the headline. You know, Gene Cady with the Purdue team, you know, been invited to go to the NCAA tournament games with the team and seems to just be having a great time. And that does help your legend grow around younger players that maybe only know who you were because of your name and don't recall all of your accomplishments or even remember those things. But Bob Knight, let alone getting on a bus and going to the a game with the team or a road trip with the team, won't even be spotted, you know, anywhere on campus or in Assembly Hall to be recognized with some great award or some great presentation. So hard to argue with Greg's point there.
Yeah, I haven't read the piece, but it sounds like something that I would agree with. And, you know, it's interesting. I grew up, obviously, not liking Gene Cady and rooting against Gene Cady because he was the leader of the enemy, and anything associated with Purdue, you know, was not something I was going to like. But it was funny, you know, when my dad went from being a football coach at Indiana to Purdue, it didn't change my basketball allegiance at all, because, you know, once you get that, you know, once you grow up with the cream and crimson in your blood, it stays there. But I did actually get a chance to meet Gene Cady and meet some of the Purdue coaches, and, you know, including Bruce Weber, actually who's coaching now at Kansas State. And they were so nice and so welcoming of me, you know, kind of being just around the facility, even though they knew I was an IU fan. And that always stuck with me, you know, and as I've grown older and gotten more perspective and kind of thought of things outside of just, you know, the allegiance and the rivalry, it's made me appreciate Gene Cady a lot more, just the person that he is. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, Purdue is welcoming him back and he's being gracious about it, because he's always seemed like a wonderful guy. So I'm sure Greg's article is spot on about that.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, assemblycall.com, at Assembly Call on Twitter. Hey, I hear the young one in the background. I think last time you were able to give her some oranges or something, and she seemed to enjoy those. So, Jared, it might be time for a snack break there at the Morris household.
She had a bag of marbles she wanted me to open. Now the marbles are all over the floor.
Well, have fun with that, and have fun with the NCAA games this weekend. Always great to catch up, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys. It's great talking to you.
All right, we will head to a commercial break. When we come back, Lee Kelly and I are going to talk with Kyle Nedenrip, our friend from the Indianapolis Star, and some great state finals previews. We're going to talk about some of the storylines surrounding all of the games, 1A through 4A, some of the top players, just a lot of interesting things, despite the fact there isn't, as I said earlier, a real immediate local team. Again, Forest Park to the west of Jasper and Evansville-Ballsy, down in the city of Evansville would be the two closest teams to us that will compete for state championships in their respective classes on Saturday. But we'll talk about all of the games, and we all have our fingers crossed that the weather holds off for Indianapolis so that the state finals can go on as scheduled. Should be a great day of basketball and a great day of games, and we'll talk about that next with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star coming your way here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here on a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Lee Kelly is with me in studio, and it's a chance to talk with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star about this big day on Saturday in our state, the IHSA State Finals, Class 1A, 2A. That's the morning session, 3A and 4A, the night games. The games will obviously be on television, so I know a lot of people that have kept up with this great year of high school basketball locally will want to pay attention to some of the state championship games this weekend, and there's no better person to get a little preview of each game with than Kyle, who joins us right now on the program. Kyle, first off, we got to talk about the weather. Last I saw, 6 or 7 inches of snow expected in Naptown sometime on Saturday. And I've been alive for sectionals and regionals that have been postponed and delayed, and the format changed a little bit over the years. But I can't say I ever remember weather threatening a state finals in Indianapolis for basketball.
Yeah, I was disappointed to see that because I know it's going to be crazy down there as it is. My niece is in town. There's a big volleyball thing going on down there too, and I know there's a supercross thing at Lucas Oil. So it's going to be pretty crowded and packed anyway. And you add the potential of, I think last I saw was maybe 3 to 6 inches, something in that range. It's pretty rare for this time of year to have something like that. You know, you hope a lot of times there's a lot of buildup for stuff like this and it falls short. So kind of hoping that's the case tomorrow. But I don't think, at least at this point, it doesn't look like there's been much change in the forecast. So hopefully that won't keep people from coming. Maybe it'll be the type of snow where it's still easier to get around. Sometimes the ice and stuff is worse than the actual snow. So hoping for the best, because I think there's four pretty good games on tap for tomorrow, at least interesting matchups all on paper.
Kyle Nenrip of the Indianapolis Star, a guest. I want to talk about each of the classes and give some respect to some of the best players and some of the interesting things that surround all four championship games. But of the four, which one are you most looking forward to?
Oh, probably the 4A game, just familiarity's sake, having covered both those teams. And kind of the storyline is now, can Warren complete this, undefeated season? And clearly a huge win last week, and a lot of games that they've won this year have been like that, like they won against New Albany, where they come back and kind of swipe it at the end. And they did that exact same thing almost to Carmel in the regular season game. Carmel's up by 5 with a minute to go. And, Warren ramped up the pressure a little bit, got a last-second shot, or I guess there was 2 or 3 seconds left when Cushenberry hit the shot, but, ended up winning that game by 1 point and won the MIC championship. It was 66-65. So pretty similar to that New Albany game where Carmel walked away feeling like, gosh, what just happened, so I think that's for me, and I think Carmel – I know people look at the records and think, well, Warren's clearly the favorite, but I'd say this is more of a 50-50 shot type of game than anything, because Carmel's healthy now. They've kind of been battling some injuries throughout the season. They've been healthy about the last 5 or 6 weeks and have played their best basketball during that time. So I think this is going to be a really interesting game. I think it's going to be a 1-2 possession game. Played in the 50s or 60s, and I think it's really going to be a good stylistic matchup, and both teams really balanced. So kind of curious to see who maybe the role players are who step up and have big games for either team.
Kyle, reading a story this morning on the Indy Star about Oak Hill, and three of their players, I believe it was three, are homeschooled. But through new rules with the relatively new rules with the IHSAA, they are allowed to play for Oak Hill now. Is that more prevalent around the state, and I just don't know about it, or is this a little unique still?
No, it's unique. They passed that rule about 5 years ago, and I think it was 2013 in the spring. So that following year would have been the 2013-14 year. Homeschool athletes were allowed, as long, and there's definitely some stipulations where, you have to be homeschooled the previous 3 years, so you can't just all of a sudden pull your kid out, homeschool them, and then, they're eligible anywhere they go. So that kind of keeps that sort of thing to out of it. So these are true homeschooled kids. What I gathered, I did a story about a year after that rule started. And what had happened, in a lot of cases, schools, the IHSA doesn't mandate that each school district takes homeschool kids and allows them to play. There were several schools that I talked to who they don't allow partial students, partial enrollees. So that means they don't allow them to play on their athletic teams. It's up to each district how they handle it. So, in this case, Oak Hill, these three kids who are all starters for Oak Hill, they were playing homeschool basketball. Spencer Ballinger was playing for a homeschool in Huntington. Tyce Frank had played for actually a team out of the east side of Indianapolis. You know, Spencer joined the basketball team at Oak Hill as a sophomore, Tyce Frank as a junior, and those two really good players. And then there's another starter who he started coming there as a freshman to Oak Hill and playing on the team. So, you know, this is definitely unique. They've got a lot of – I talked to their coach last year about this, and they were getting a lot of criticism from rival schools at the time. You know, when you win, that sort of thing happens. And this situation, a lot of people are against it, to be honest. There's a lot of schools against it and still are. So when you combine the fact that people are against it and your team is winning and now going to a state championship, you know, they felt a lot of heat. You know, I know the kids who are homeschooled and playing on the team, you know, hear stuff all the time. I don't think it bothers them as much anymore. But also these kids are all – they're all playing by the rules. They are in the Oak Hill District, which is required. You have to go to the school in your district if you're homeschooled. And they've all lived there, basically, and grown up knowing these kids who are on the Oak Hill team already. So, you know, it's not anything that's you know, beating the system or, you know, this is the system, you know, and you can complain about the rule, you know, if you want to. And I understand there are people who disagree, and I completely get that. But it's not anything these kids did or that Oak Hill did. It's just, you know, they are playing by the rules, and they are good basketball players. The three kids who are playing are good basketball players. So that's kind of the world that it is now, and you know, they have a really good team, and they're in the state championship now.
Dial Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, talking state finals on Saturday as we preview each of the four classes. One thing I've mentioned a couple times this week on the program, obviously an IU lean to this show, not the IU recruits that some thought might get to the state finals, like Demezi Anderson of South Bend Riley, of course, Romeo Langford, an IU target in the 2018 class. But there are a couple younger players there, which gives us the opportunity to talk about the 2A game. Forest Park has a freshman named Kurt Hopf that's averaged, I think, about 13 points a game for his team. He's from a family of some great basketball players that have went through Forest Park. Also, a sophomore at Culver Academies, the coach's son, the former Carmel coach, Mark Galloway, now the coach at Culver Academies. His son, Trey, getting some interest from IU, from other Division I schools like Purdue. So some young guys, if you're an IU fan and still want to make the trip to Indianapolis on Saturday to pay attention to, those two guys would be probably the first and foremost names.
Yeah, I would say those two. I know I haven't seen Forest Park yet this year. I've only seen videos, highlights. I haven't seen them in person. And I know from talking to Oak Hill about Forest Park, you know, that's a team, including the Hopf kid, who, you know, size-wise, they match up pretty well. Hopf is, he can face up and shoot. Interesting kid. He's visited IU already. Like you mentioned, he's got older brothers who played on some really good Forest Park teams. I'm really curious to see him play. I hope to have seen him play at some point this year and wasn't able to. And then you mentioned Trey Galloway. I have seen him a couple times through the years in various tournaments, and then again this year, and he's really starting to come into his own. There's another kid on that team, Britton Watts, who is an Indianapolis kid. Originally, his mom is actually the principal at Northwest High School, and he plays for Culver, and he's also a Division I prospect. I don't know if he'll rise to the level of Big Ten or IU, but already has a few offers. I think Toledo, IUPUI, and a couple others have offered him. So, you know, that's a not only just Galloway, but, you know, they've got some real talent on that team. And I know they raised some eyebrows by beating Newcastle. It was kind of a surprise in the semi-state. But they've got some horses on that team and some strong kids. And, you know, I think that, you know, that 3A game with Bossy is going to be really good. I think Culver's going to give them all they want. And curious to see if Bossy can finally break through and win one. They've been so close here the last 3 years.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, with Lee Kelly and I on this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Evansville Bossy, a lot of fans, folks in this area, familiar with that program. They've played New Albany. They've played Jeffersonville, some others as well. They beat Silver Creek last week, a local team, in the regional championship, a couple weeks ago in the regional championship game. But they are fun to watch. They're up and down and athletic, and they trap and pressure and are aggressive and even kind of rough at times. So they definitely have a unique style with them that would, I would think, give them a great chance to be successful on Saturday.
Yeah, I think so. I'd make them the favorite if I was looking at that game against Culver. You're right. I mean, I covered their game against Attucks last year in the semi-state, and that was, you couldn't even look down at your notepad or your laptop. The game was played at such a high rate of speed and so many possessions. And they're a fun team. Mekhi Larry is their guy. He's all-time leading scorer in Evansville, in the city of Evansville, not only the school. So, and there's a long history of great basketball players, of course, out of that city. You know, he gets up and down. He makes them go. He's going to Miami of Ohio next year to play for Jack Owens there. So he's a really fun player to watch. He's a surefire Indian All-Star, no doubt. Averages about 26 points a game. And then their other players, too, are their best players are all guards. So, you know, they can handle the ball. They can shoot. You know, the problem for them at times has been rebounding inside play. But this year they do have a sophomore, 6'9 sophomore, Kyron Powell, who's getting about 9 rebounds a game. So I think that'll help them. I you know, this is a team, like I said, it's been kind of knocking on the door. And, you know, I know 2 years ago they were kind of a surprise and they made it up here. And then last year ran into a really good Attucks team. And so this is kind of their time. If they don't do it this year, it might be another long stretch. And it's a school with a lot of basketball tradition and history. And you know, their last one, I want to say it was 1962, so it's been a while since they've won one. But, you know, this is probably their best chance and might be their best chance for a few years.
Talking with Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star, let's get your predictions for the state finals. You mentioned Ball C and 3A, obviously, but thoughts on those other three state championship games? What's the Kyle Nedrip pick on those contests?
Well, I took Warren and both players and coaches for Carmel and Warren are like, don't pick us, because I hadn't picked them last week. And so I was kind of jokingly, I told David Bell and Dean Tate not to look at it. So, but I did pick Warren Central to win. Honestly, though, I really do think, you know, I think it is a 50-50 type of deal. I would not be surprised if Carmel beat Warren. You know, I know Warren hasn't lost this year, but they've been so close to getting beat so many times and pulling those games out. It's hard to pick against them, but in the same right, I don't see them blowing Carmel out for sure. And then the 2A, I mentioned Bossy, I've got them winning 3A. 2A, I took Oak Hill, and then 1A. 1A should be a really fun game, too. I'm looking forward to that. It should be up and down between Morristown and Southwood. And I took Morristown. I really like that team. Hayden Lankable is really good. I think people saw that last week at Seymour, just how good he is. He's a very, very tough. He's a lot like Romeo at a small school level where, you know, if he's double teamed, he'll give the ball up. You know, he's very efficient offensive player, just a good leader from that aspect. So I think Morristown wins, and I know a lot of people excited over there to make the trip over and see the Yellow Jackets try to win their first championship. Another school that's had a long history of success, but no state championships to this point.
Kyle, the 17-18 season obviously getting ready to come to a close tomorrow. As you look back, how does this season compare with past years? Was this a great year for Indiana high school basketball, average year, or how do you look at it?
Well, average is a pretty high standard, but I would say it's probably above that because of the senior players. You know, and I think I've told Matt before on the show, I just really have enjoyed that group of seniors, you know, the guys who are probably the surefire Indian All-Star players, like, you know, of course, Romeo and all he's done, and being able to cover that has been something different, something fun, and I'm not there every game from a geography standpoint. It's just hard to get down there a whole lot, but, you know, being part of that was fun. And then the guys to cover who are just great to talk to, you know, and Romeo's one of those, and all, you know, Robert Finnessy's that way at McCutcheon. You know, Eric Hunter, who I cover more because he's here in Indianapolis at Tinley, is great that way. Aaron Henry from Ben Davis. Those are all really good players and also really good people to talk to. And so that's been enjoyable from that standpoint. I'll miss those covering those guys. The Warren Central story's been fun. You know, a team that probably nobody expected, you couldn't expect to be undefeated at this point in the season. So that's been a fun story. So I would say, you know, from a talent level, above average, definitely. And, you know, there's been a lot of good stories to cover this year. And in my job, trying to get to everything's impossible, but you pick out what you can and try to do a good job with that. And hopefully have been able to do some of that this year. But overall, I'd say it's been a good year. I always think that, you know, once you get to this point, you know, who knows? You don't know what you're going to get. But I think the tournament's been fun. The you know, the games, atmospheres, you couldn't ask for, you know, better atmospheres and games than we've had here the last couple of weeks, for sure. So it's always, I'm always disappointed when it's about to be over, but also need a little bit of a break, you know, from, you know, as well. But it's always loved this time of year, and always a little bit of sadness creeps in when it's about to be over with.
Absolutely. Kyle Medenrip, Indianapolis Star. Kyle, it's been great to have you with us throughout the high school basketball season. Obviously, so many topics both here in Southern Indiana and beyond that we have discussed. Look forward to continuing our conversations, and we'll do it again next Friday.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Matt. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Kyle. Should be a great day at Bankers Life tomorrow. It's always fun to go. You see so many coaches and some of the teams, maybe they got beat out of the tournament in earlier rounds, and just kind of a great day to connect with a lot of Indiana basketball folks, media, coaches, and beyond. So always a great showcase. I know a lot of people look forward to maybe not going, but watching kind of out of the corner of their eye, thinking about their teams and how they can get to Bankers Life next year. And the exciting thing is, Lee, when we think to next year, you and I kind of gave a real early look at it yesterday in the final Southern Indiana basketball update segment that we do on Thursdays. I think we've got, you know, some teams like Silver Creek stepping up in 3A next year that could be someone that could get past that regional hump of Evansville-Ballsy a couple times and maybe make a run to Semi-State or beyond. So always good to know in Southern Indiana that we've got some talent still coming, and it's just a shame we have to wait a handful of months to get back into it all again.
Well, and I'll be looking forward to the Summer League games as my first part of next year's team. Always look forward to those games. A little less stress in those, and you really get to see some kids step up that maybe didn't play a whole lot.
Yeah, I was talking with a coach yesterday. You know, Summer League is not a time where fans come out, and it's not, you know, we're not going to broadcast any of the games on the radio. We're not going to talk about all the details on this show. There's not going to be the newspaper writers there. But for teams that are rebuilding, or for teams that lose, like say New Albany, for example, that lose a Romeo Langford and Sean East, or for a team like Floyd Central that graduated, was it six or seven seniors on their roster? The summer is a real time for the coaches to experiment and to get some guys a lot of playing time and put them in different roles that they have been in previously. So I think it'll be an interesting summertime. That was a good point to see what we've got for the following season, but it'll all be here before you know it. We'll be talking about 2018-19 like it's just approaching here very soon. So it's been a fun year. Again, great to wrap up the season yesterday with you on the Southern Indiana Basketball Update, and of course the state finals this weekend will mark the official close of the 2017-18 season, excuse me. So obviously a great year and a fun time. Before we get out of here, though, I do want to mention a couple other things. Obviously, yesterday you and I spoke some about David Padgett and how well he's handled the situation at Louisville from the very start when he was thrust into a crazy situation of taking over the team once practice had really already begun or was getting ready to begin, to his final press conference at U of L a couple days ago when he knew it was official he would not be back as the team's permanent head coach. But Louisville's moving quick, and I guess they've had time kind of behind the scenes and in back channels to make some contacts and things like that. But it looks like they're meeting with Chris Mack of Xavier for a conversation about that job over the weekend. That's very interesting, and I think would be a great hire for a Louisville program that still has a lot of question marks and unknowns in front of it as far as some NCAA things and what the future could look like that way. So very interesting, and I think Chris Mack, I'm sure that more will come out about that once the meeting takes place as far as his level of interest and if he's a legitimate candidate for the job and perhaps some other names as well. But that's a great name to start with for sure.
It really is, and the fact they got beat in the tournament kind of sped things up a little bit because he's now available to talk to schools, and So, yeah, I think it moved up the timetable for U of L. I think he would be a great hire.
No question that coaching moves going on as well. I wanted to give a shout-out to Dusty May. He's a Southern Indiana native, Eastern Green, so up by the Bloomington area. So he's not in the far southern part of the state, but was a great high school basketball player in that area and was an assistant coach at Florida most recently and just got the head coaching job yesterday officially at Florida Atlantic. So a lot of movement in the area as far as coaches go. It's always neat when you see somebody with a local connection. It was Coach McCarty, Walter McCarty, earlier in the week coming back from the Boston Celtics as an assistant to take the UE job down at Evansville. Dusty May taking over at Florida Atlantic. So that coaching carousel that we spoke about earlier this week, Lee, sometimes it has some stops and connections locally, which is always pretty cool.
You know, the thing is, as you look at this NCAA tournament, some of these teams that came out of nowhere to win games, now all of a sudden the coaches' names being mentioned at some of the larger programs, always interesting to see.
Yeah, the guy at Loyola Chicago is either going to get a major raise and a new contract, or he'll be coaching somewhere a lot different and a lot bigger with more money next season, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And, of course, you got to leave Sister Jean if you do that, so maybe he'll stay there. Who knows?
Absolutely. That's going to wrap it up for today. Thanks again for being with us. Don't forget that we do this every day at 11 a.m. Here on the Big X Sports Radio, the replay at 3 o'clock, the podcast available at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, and we're also in Apple Podcast as well. You can search for us. Lee will be hosting next week a couple days. Monday he will have control of things as I head to Atlanta for the McDonald's All-American game. We'll do the show from Atlanta on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll have some of our regular guests with us those days. Jim Shannon, I think, will be with me on Wednesday for that program. We hope to have some comments from Romeo and others involved with the McDonald's game as well. So stay with us for that next week. Have a great weekend. Lee, thanks for being with me again, and we'll talk with you Monday here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.